morning and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 94.3, Western Licking County, brought to you by Licking County Transit with fixed routes and on-demand response service. They've got your transportation needs covered. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guests today are Sarah Gray Smith and Scott Rich with the Ronald McDonald House. We still have that freeze warning in effect for maybe another 40 minutes or so, but beautiful day today, mostly sunny, high near 51, clear tonight, and then Tuesday really looks nice, sunny skies and a high near 73. Now, Joel, we were just joking here with Sarah Grace a little bit. That's pretty impressive, if you ask me. She's coming to a radio station just a few days before she gets married. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you doing?
Duty calls.
Right? Anything to hang out with y'all.
Oh, that's not what you said earlier. You said hang out with Scott, not with us. We were just sitting here joking. You getting a little nervous?
A little. I mean, we've been together 10 years. It's about time.
You know? Wow. You hear how she said that? It's about time.
Somebody got the speech. That's what I'm guessing.
But you've got kind of everything ducks in a row?
Yeah, everything's planned out. The last thing we had to do, we were in a fight over what we were going to walk out to at the reception, you know, and he really wanted to walk out to Brass Monkey, which by the Beastie Boys, which I just couldn't get behind.
So I'm totally down with this guy. I've never met him. I love him already.
See,
that is awesome.
I had no idea.
That is awesome.
When she said Brass Monkey, I thought that was actually the name of the band.
What was your song?
What was my song? Oh, What I Like About You by the Ramones. So we flipped a coin.
Wow. I love this. This is awesome.
We're a pretty cool couple.
No doubt.
So not the Star Wars Imperial March?
No. No, but we had...
That's fine.
Taps.
Oh, wow.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I told him, I said, we're going to have fun.
That is brutal right there. So which one won?
On the way
we flipped a coin. I won.
You won. Okay.
I think
either one of you win on that one.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
Thank you.
See, again, just that little snapshot, I see why you're in love. I see right there.
And I wanted to tell him, young man, she's going to win the rest of your life, so give her the coin toss. It does not matter.
Check the coin first. Maybe it was both heads.
That's exactly right. Well, congratulations. I know it's a busy time for you, but it's also, as you said, you're so passionate about the Ronald McDonald House over at the Nationwide Children's Hospital. And this is, you know, Volunteer Appreciation Month, and we're going to get to Scott here in a second, but you were throwing out numbers mind-boggling, Sarah Grace. How many folks are volunteering over at that house right now?
Yeah, we have almost 300 regular volunteers. So that's people who are volunteering as individuals on like a weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly basis. And when you think about the scale of our house, it's truly amazing. I mean, we only have around 25 full-time staff. So our house really runs on volunteers. And I think Scott was sharing this morning that we have 50,000 hours of volunteers that happen every year. And that's just amazing.
Young and old alike, like old like Scott.
Old retired guys like me.
Yeah.
Mr. Rich to you. By the way, what's it like to go through life as Mr. Rich? That's got to be so cool.
Listen, the thing that I struggle with the most is, so my name is Scott Rich. And people call me Rich all the time. They get it mixed up, and they're like, oh, they put the comma in the wrong place. You know, isn't it the other way around? And I'm like, no, that's right. You know, the last name is Rich.
It's Rich Scott.
But yeah, Mr. Rich. And of course, you know, my wife is dealing with that as well. So, oh, so you're Mrs. Rich. Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Well.
And your answer should be, I am, because
who
I married.
Right. Of course you are, sweet.
Yes.
The answer should be, all right, Scott, how did you get involved? What, you know, brought you to the Ronald McDonald House?
So I used to work at JPMorgan Chase, and I brought my team to the house one day to make lunch. We worked with Chef Blair, and you had the opportunity to come in and make breakfast, lunch, or dinner for the families. So I brought my team in, made lunch. We had a great experience. And then a couple of years later, I ended up retiring from JPMorgan Chase. And I called up the house and said, hey, could you use some help? And they said, well, can you start yesterday? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, but I can start today. So I literally started right away. And I go in whenever they need me. So they'll contact me by text. Sometimes it's, hey, guess what? We've got a group coming in today. Do you mind coming in? We've got a gig going on over here. Can you talk to this group? You know, I've talked to different groups, Mettler, Toledo, Bath and Body Works, Deloitte. So I go out and speak to groups now, but I have dug ditches. We dug a 700-foot trench in preparation for a major expansion that we had that took place at the end of 2023. And we had to bury the data line. And so they called me and said, do you know anything about, you know, digging ditches or data lines or whatever? And I'm like, well, yeah, a little bit here and there.
I bet you're probably wishing you knew more about data lines than digging ditches at that point.
Yes. I'm like, So we put in conduit, got ready for that. During the expansion, they had taken the playground apart 2 years earlier, and it was stored in a warehouse. And they came back with the dump truck, and they dumped all the parts and said, "Here you go. Here's the parts.
Put it back together."
And so they're like, "Hey, do you think you can maybe figure out how to put this thing back together again?" And so I worked on that. But I go in now, and I'll clean rooms sometimes. Sometimes I'll do laundry. Sometimes I lead groups, do tours,
and you give the best tours.
Well, thanks.
Scott has a legendary tour reputation.
Well, now wait a minute. Yeah, what is he doing? I mean, what is it about the tours?
So I've done public speaking for a long time in my career.
Job on radio?
Sure.
On a real station.
And it just kind of carries through here. I have a lot of knowledge about the house in my head and can answer most of the questions. And I like to try to put people at ease. The big thing that I see most when groups come into the house is the place is like the Harry Potter tent, you know, if you've seen the movie where, you know, you go in the tent and the place is huge. When you see the building from the outside, it doesn't look that imposing. But when you walk in the door and you're like, oh my gosh. And then when we take tours, people are like, I have no idea where I'm at right now. How do we get back to the, to the beginning? So the point is that I try to make people comfortable with the house, but also kind of get them comfortable with what we do there, and try to make it relatable, to the groups that come in.
I gotta believe when you start talking about it, folks are just like, their jaws are dropping, their eyes are wide, like, I didn't know all this was going on. Because I know when we came out there, you saw the big, like, the lobby, but then you go to your left and you see the play area and all the different things. I'm assuming folks are just like, oh my gosh, I did not know it was like this.
It is. It is like that. And when they hear that we have 206 rooms, we're the largest Ronald McDonald House on the planet, and they're kind of looking around like, well, where are all the rooms? Well, you'll see those when we tour. But yeah, you're right. And then walking into our new dining facility, especially so that play area that you talked about used to be our dining facility. So it's not, it's not a huge space. And when we expanded a couple of years ago, that space then got much larger and became a two-story, which we really needed. But yeah, it is a kind of a jaw-dropping thing. And then, when we talk about the 50,000 hours thing, I mean, what that comes down to is that groups of people who come in from different companies, ranging from 5 people to 40 people, are included in that total amount of volunteer time. And then, of course, folks like myself who come in on a regular basis. But that 50,000 hours is what keeps us going. We don't have full-time staff to clean the rooms or to do the laundry or to cook the food or do any of the cleaning or upkeep in the house other than maintenance. And that's done by a group called the Craftsmen, who are retired electricians, plumbers, carpenters, and they come in and replace things that need to be replaced.
I remember you mentioning that the last time you were in here about those folks doing that. I'm curious to go back when you took the folks from work. Had you heard about the Ronald McDonald House before? Had you done things in there? So, I mean, you kind of knew. But for those folks, that had to be kind of just, this is the coolest thing ever to get in there and be able to cook like that.
It was cool. So I'll be totally honest. I mean, I knew about the Ronald McDonald House and so did my team. And I gave them the opportunity to choose a place where we could go among 2 or 3 different, things that we could choose from. And we chose Ronald McDonald House. But then once we got there and got the experience, and like you said, saw the place and got to cook for the families. And the big thing was, as the families are going through the line and we're serving them, every single family, it's like, oh, thank you so much for doing this. And we were talking about this earlier before we went on the air. One of the big things for me is, at Ronald McDonald House, you're seeing the results immediately of what you're doing, right? You clean a room, a family comes in the door, they go into that room. You cook a meal, you're serving the meal to the family. You're seeing the families actually sitting in the dining space, enjoying the things that you have been able to provide for them. So nothing against other nonprofit agencies where you're kind of filling a box and sending the box off to someone. In that case, you don't see the result, right? You know you've done well, good. But at the Ronald McDonald House, you know you've done well because you can see the reactions. My favorite story is I got on the elevator once. I was, you know, doing something, and a dad got on the elevator with me. And it was just the two of us, and we're riding up to the third floor, and he looked over at my shirt. He said, "So you're a volunteer?" And I said, "Yeah." And he got really emotional for a second, and he's like, "Look," he said, "if it weren't for you guys who give us a place to stay and keep it clean and keep it going, I don't know what we would do because my daughter's in the hospital right now and we're not sure what's going to happen with her. And we're dealing with this every day. And if it weren't for people like you coming in and helping out, I don't know what we would do." And he got off the elevator and he walked away. And I was like, "Oh, that's heavy." Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I actually had to ride the elevator up and down a couple more times after that and just kind of, you know, but that's exactly the feeling that you get there. All of the families are very appreciative. They all, you know, are there for something else. They're going through their worst case scenario in their lives in a lot of times. And you know what? We get people there from, well, last year, I think 20 different countries across the planet. People from, you know, Poland, people from Brazil, people from Israel. I mean, we have people who come in who don't speak English. We have people who come in to the house who've never been to the United States before, let alone to little Columbus, Ohio, across the street from Nationwide Children's. And these people have been thrown into a situation that they are trying to figure out. Our job at the house is to make those families feel comfortable and give them a sense of a family in a house or in a place where they can relax, right? And they can concentrate on the things they need to concentrate on. We have what we call family rooms. They're basically just rooms that look like living rooms mm-hmm. in the house that are available 24/7 for families to go into and do homework and watch TV and talk and do the things they would do in their living room, because that makes our facility so much different than staying at a hotel somewhere mm-hmm. and trying to grab some fast food and figure out where you're going to do dinner, you know, the next day or whatever. They don't have to worry about that. They come to the house, they've got a place to stay, they've got a place to eat, they've got a place to relax, and a place to be a family, and that's our job, is to give them that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And some families stay for, I think the longest one that I know of is over 1,100 days. Mm-hmm. So that's over 3 years of time that they spent at the house while their child was going through treatment across the street at Rome.
They really do become family. I mean, 3 years. Yeah. I mean, my God, you get to know people.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even from a volunteer perspective, you know, I know Freya and her parents as they walk through the hallways. And we, you know, we talk to each other once in a while and stuff. And, yeah, it becomes a family. And if they've come here from, like I said, from out of town or even out of the country, this is their only place, right? They're at the house. And they're across the street at the hospital. And they're at the house and across the street at the hospital. So, so we do our best to make them feel as comfortable as possible during that stay.
Well, God bless you. Because, I mean, that's cool. Just the father, and I like how you said you had to go back up and down. I still might be on that elevator if I was in there with them. Real quick, if folks want to get involved before we take a break, is it just as simple as pick up the phone and call and say, "Hey, like Scott did, I want to do some help here"?
Yeah, you can call us or you can go on our website. We have a tab for volunteering and all our different volunteering opportunities. And you can just look through all of those, fill out the form, and get started.
That's that easy. Or like you said, you could start yesterday. Give me a day. I'll be over.
Sure.
That's right.
Get in there and I'll be fine. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7 Newark Heath, brought to you by Licking County Transit. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident
resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country, 94.3, Western Licking County. Brought to you by Licking County Transit, safely connecting people to places and possibilities. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guests today, Sarah Gray Smith and Scott Rich with the Ronald McDonald House at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Mostly sunny skies throughout the day, high right around 50, clear tonight, low near 30. And then for Tuesday, just beautiful, sunny, high near 73. Scott, to get back to volunteering now. You want to be outside when the weather's nice, I assume, when you were digging that ditch. But I asked you, you do sound like a jack of all trades. Hey, just call Scott. He'll get it done for us. I mean, you can do it all over there.
It has become that way. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of that's just the experiences that I've had. You know, I used to help my dad when I was a kid, and we'd do carpentry work and roofing and, you know, all sorts of fun stuff. But then I've got a lot of that corporate experience in the marketing world. And so yeah, and I put myself out there with the house and just basically told them, whatever you need, I can kind of step in and help out as much as possible. So yeah, I've had my hands involved in a lot of different things there, but it's been really rewarding and really it's been a good time. It's been fun.
Yeah, I can't help but think that you go home with a smile. It's a tough thing to see, but I can't think you don't go home with a smile on your face going, as you talked about earlier, helping all these families. Because that's, I mean, at the end of the day, what this is all about. Your volunteers, now we talk about they can do a whole bunch of different things. Can they choose what they want to do? Like, I think we were joking the last time I was in here. I'm not that guy, hands-on, build stuff. I'm the laundry guy. I'm the cleaning guy. Yeah. I can do the cooking and all those
kinds. And you can do all that.
So you can just say, hey, I want to come out and want to help, but these are...
Right, yeah, you can kind of choose like what you're interested in, what you feel comfortable with. Even if you're not a handyman, you can become one. Our volunteer craftsman
no,
can
Sarah.
Teach you.
No, I cannot.
He's the nuts and bolts leftover guy. Okay, you don't want that guy working on your playground.
Where does this go?
So, yeah, maybe laundry is for you. That's soft. And
I don't know, though. There's the folding fitted sheets thing.
Oh,
you know,
that's folding fitted sheets.
I'm good with all that. As I said, I've got all that stuff taken care of. You know, she starts talking about putting stuff together. That's not going to work. But I mean, because for a lot of people, they want to help. But I know I would be a little nervous if you said, go dig a ditch. I'd be like, excuse me?
And we'll say, well, maybe you make some coffee for the families staying here.
Got
you can
no
do
problem
that.
With that whatsoever. Now, how many families are in the home as we speak?
Right now, we're probably at around 100, 110 families that are there in the home. We are sitting around 50 to 60% capacity right now, which is exactly where we want to be. Because if you've driven past Nationwide Children's, you see that they're about to pretty much double, it looks like. Mm-hmm. They're building a whole new wing. And when we expanded, we prepared for that. We wanted to be ready for that and not have to have a waiting list.
Yeah. So to take us through that, how does that work if a family has to come there? Is it just the urgency of the child, or how does that work if you've got five families and you have four rooms? How do you figure out how that works?
Well, luckily we haven't had that anytime recently.
Right.
So
the
they all get a room.
So they all get a room. And no cost whatsoever is what I'm getting at for the families. Nothing.
No.
Everything is picked up by...
Yes, there's a one-time ask for a donation, just like if you want to donate for some of your stay, it's suggested at $20 a night, but it's a one-time ask, no pressure, and then it's dropped. Mm-hmm. So if you feel compelled to, you can donate for your stay. If not, completely covered. Everything, including the room, the food, laundry, cleaning supplies, toiletries, playrooms.
Activities.
And it sounds, too, like, you know, if you can't forecast how long you're going to need it, that's okay. I mean, 3 years is a long time, so it's not like I even need a reservation. It's like, hey, I can just show up and go, I'm in need. What do you got?
Yeah, we're luckily, since we're technically employees from Nationwide Children's, we're able to communicate more smoothly with their social workers and kind of see like, yeah, they are having appointments, or the social workers like, hey, they're going to need to stay a little longer. And we're able to have those conversations really easily.
And as beds are filled up in the hospital, is that pretty much how you kind of go? When the hospitals run a little full, you run a little fuller. When the hospital's not quite as full, you're not quite as full?
I think it kind of depends, because what it really comes down to is there a family that's coming into town that will need to be housed, you know, because they're from mm-hmm. 35 miles or more away from that hospital, and it's not easy for them to stay. Mm-hmm. So as the beds fill at the hospital, those beds could be all people who are from this immediate area, mm-hmm. or they're people who have a place to stay. Maybe they're staying with family, or they're paying for their own hotel, whatever it is. So it really depends upon that mix.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think we go through, I think we filter through like 10 to 20 families a day that are either mm-hmm. coming or going. And that's kind of an average that we have. But yeah, it really depends. And there are some times of year, summertime when school's not in, for example, when we might get busier because mm-hmm. families are scheduling mm-hmm. different treatments and that sort of thing because the kids aren't in school.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it kind of ebbs and flows. And just along that line too, one other thing I'll say is I have tours during the course of the day, and when people come in to tour, they're like, where are all the families? I'm like, well, they're either asleep right now because they've been at the hospital all night, or they're at the hospital during the course of the day, and you know, they'll come back then in the evening and have dinner. So yeah, so sometimes you get to see the families, sometimes you don't always get to see all the families that are there.
Right. I do know, like, if you serve dinner or if you do an activity during dinner, like, that's when you'll get the most mm-hmm. interaction with families.
I'm curious, do the families say, can I help do some volunteering when you're out about doing something? Can I help with that? What do you need help with?
Usually, I'll be honest, usually not. Mm-hmm. For a couple reasons. One is, obviously, they're kind of focused on what they've got going on. But the second thing is, we try to make sure that we are going above and beyond. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, staying at a really nice hotel. You know, when you stay at a really nice hotel and you get the person who comes up and gets your luggage for you, and they're like, well, you know, let's go to your room. In that instance, you usually don't say, well, no, that's just, let me carry the luggage, right? Because you know they're going to take care of it. Whereas you stay at kind of a budget hotel, you're probably not going to have it, and you're like, you know what, I'll take care of this. I'll take care of this. Our job is to make sure that you're not staying in a budget hotel.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So now, I will say that there have been families who have left and said, hey, we want to come back and help.
Oh, yeah.
We want to come back and pay back for the things that we have been able to, you know, to the fruits of what we've gotten when mm-hmm. we've stayed here. Which, of course, we're more than willing to, you know, accept that and allow people to come in and help and or bring their family or friends or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the biggest need for volunteers? Is it just everywhere? Or do you have, like, I know we have a group that we sponsor at Newark High School, mm-hmm. the Kiwanis, and they'll go over and help with lunches and prepare meals and those. Is there one thing, or is it just kind of across the board?
I think the biggest thing is laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
No, in all honesty, everything kind of starts with the laundry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got large groups of volunteers who will cook meals, large groups of volunteers who will do craftsman-related stuff. And then the biggest thing other than that is cleaning rooms and turning rooms over for one family leaving and another one coming in. Well, in order to do that, you need to have clean laundry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our laundry room is a 24/7 operation. All of the linens, towels, everything, you know, is constantly churning through there. So when I have groups that come in, what I do is I get there early and see, how do we look from a laundry perspective? Are we good or are we not good? If we're good, we're going to go clean rooms and we're going to use some of that laundry to do that. If we're not good, then I'm going to take them down to the laundry and make sure we get that done so that the next crew that comes in will have clean laundry to be able to refresh the
room. It's all about setup for the next one.
It is.
It's all about setup for the next one.
So that's a big thing. But also, like, it's spring, so it's time to go out and pull weeds and plant mm-hmm. things. And we have a whole garden
Yeah. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could pull weeds?
That's hurtful. But yes, I can.
I won't plant anything because I'll kill it, but I'll pull the weeds.
You'll pull it.
That one I can do. That's not a problem for me. I'm surprised the hospital doesn't take care of the house. So you guys actually do that as well?
Yeah, we're our own separate entity. The only thing, we do have a very special relationship in that, we are technically employees of them, and they lease us our land for $1 a year, which is incredible. But other than that, we are on our own.
Take care of that yourself.
Yeah.
And they do some of the landscaping too, right? Do they do some of the mowing?
A little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, because I mean, that would be
I think awful. They do the exterior and then the interior stuff we
got handle. That. Yeah.
Got all that. Yeah, that's you said you have gardens?
Yes.
You have a garden?
Do you really?
Yes, we're growing a bunch of our own fruits and vegetables over the summer and in the fall so that we can use them in our cooking. And we also have a bunch of pollinators, and it's just a beautiful space where families can relax or learn about how, where do we get our food from? They can see it right there. And we also say they're more than welcome to pick some flowers, make a bouquet for themselves, or pick some of the food and make something for themselves, It's completely open.
That's really what it's for. I mean, to be honest, it's not big enough for us to be able to use all of that in our kitchen. But to see a 5-year-old, go out there and pick their own tomato and bring it in and have someone, kind of cut it up for them, it's a huge thing. And once again, it's also an experiential thing. They're able to kind of have a good time and think about that versus think about some of the other things that are going on.
Oh, anything to take their mind off of that, for sure.
Yeah.
And you forget about the kids, too. The families that are there, we all think kids are resilient and bounce back. I'm not saying they're not. But when they see a brother or a sister or something like that going, it can impact them. Do you have access? You talked about social workers and mental health help for folks if they say to you, man, today was a bad day. I mean, can you get folks in there to talk to them?
Yeah, I know we work closely with the hospital and their social workers, and they can help them. I know we have a list of resources that we provide families with, and it's a large database where they can sort by their need, financial resources, legal resources, mental health resources. And I know we have even at certain periods had support groups for parents where they can just get together and talk about what they're going through. And a lot of people think that we mostly serve families who have a kid inpatient in the hospital, but we also have children who are outpatient. So they're going there maybe daily for treatment or for testing. So sometimes the children at the house are also the ones that are being treated. So you never know if a kid is a sibling or a patient just out and about.
And just to reiterate that, when a family moves out from the house, it's not kind of a done deal for us. Good luck. We have a lot of resources that we do provide for them so that they can continue their journey after they've left the house and they get back home and they're like, oh, what do I do? What do I do now? I think we pride ourselves in being able to provide that kind of support, not only while they're at the house, but beyond that, during their course of their journey.
Yeah, because that never ends.
It never ends.
No, that never ends. All right, I'm going to take it. You went from in the kitchen to digging ditches.
Well,
how bad is your cooking?
So let me. Let me talk about that. So a couple things. So the digging part, I stretched the truth a bit there. So we actually had the contractor came out with the trencher and actually was doing. But what we were doing is making sure that trench was the right size for the conduit that we were putting in 700 feet of conduit so that we could run the data line. But cooking wise.
Yeah, because you hadn't answered my question yet. Listen, bad is your cooking?
So, I think my cooking is fine. But Chef Blair might not think. But we do. Blair Arms is our chef. She has a sous chef, Dave, who works with her as well. And they plan and prepare all the meals. Mm-hmm. When a group is coming in, they'll coordinate with them. Are you going to bring your own? Or are you going to, you want us to provide? If we need to provide, here's what we think. You're okay with cooking this. There's usually a group of about 5 to 6, maybe up to 10 people who are working then in the kitchen to make that meal. But you are supervised enough by the chef or sous chef to make sure that you can get done what you need to get done. If you've never touched a kitchen knife before or you've never cooked anything before, that's okay. They'll show you what to do. So back to the question about me. Yeah, there were some things that Blair was like, yeah, you should probably take that off the heat now. You know, it's boiling a little bit too much.
Blair taught me a whole new way of cutting peppers. I was shocked. I was like, I've been doing this my whole life, and now I know a new way.
Well, they didn't have you dig a ditch, though. Let's go
right,
there.
Right, I'm not that bad.
They found his strong suit right away, said, get him out of the kitchen. No doubt about it. If folks want to volunteer, just what's the phone number? Just go on the website.
Yes, yeah. Go on our website, rmhc-centralohio.org, and go to our volunteer tab and just look at the different opportunities and click on what appeals to you, fill out the form, make a phone call, make an email, and either of any of those options, and we'll get you scheduled.
Somebody's going to call you back. I get it to you.
Or email.
However they need to get a hold of you. Scott, God bless you. I mean, really. I mean, what you're doing there, and again, we talk about, you know, some folks don't have the money, even though your last name is Rich. Some folks don't. I had to get that in for you.
Some
folks just maybe don't have the cash to do something, and they want to help out. Man, I can't think of a better way, and you're living proof of that. I mean, it's just amazing what you guys are doing over there. And if you had a business, if you told them to come out, what would be the one thing you'd tell them to get them to come out there?
Ooh, to get them to come out, I would definitely tell them the elevator story, because it's not just a story. It is an experience, and it's an experience that any volunteer can have being there. But I think I would tell them what we've talked about in this conversation, that the experience there is very rewarding, and it's very different than some of the other places that you could go to volunteer where you don't get to see the end product. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I would say to my team, which I did actually when we came out to make lunch, is let's go there and, you know, really interact with the families and do some good stuff.
That'd get much better than that. So again, I appreciate you both coming in, Sarah Gray Smith and Scott Rich with the Ronald McDonald House. Be sure to join us on Wednesday, as our guest will be Christy Hawthorne, Executive Director of Licking Soil and Water Conservation District. It is Earth Day, so Christy is going to take some time out of her busy schedule to come in and talk about all that's being done at the Soil and Water Conservation District. That's on Wednesday's Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7, brought to you by Licking County Transit.